Dear friends, good evening. Thank you for joining us once again this week to another Gnostic Lab of Practical Application. The practice that we have in store tonight is titled Pratyahara. And Pratyahara is a state of mind, but it is also a state of being. But in reality, Pratyahara is also a discipline. And this is because Pratyahara is many things. Let's take a look at what Samael says in terms of this particular condition, this particular word, in some of his different writings. From his book, The Mysteries of Fire, Samael Onweor says, "Meditation is a simple system to receive information. When the wise one submerges in meditation, they are seeking information. Meditation is the daily bread of the wise one. And meditation is made of various faces: asana, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi." Samael here, in his writings on the mysteries of fire, is letting us know that as the daily bread of the wise, we have the practice of meditation. And here, in this book, he is very clear, stating the wise one who submerges in meditation is seeking information. But we tend to think that he refers to us, that we would submerge in meditation because we're seeking information. And in part, that is true. But the fact is that as we learn to develop our ability to meditate, we are practicing meditation so that we can effectively calm down. We need to calm down our body. We need to learn to be able to bring in a very deep and profound state of relaxation where every atom and every particle, every tissue, every ligament, every muscle, every organ in the body is free of any tension. And beyond that, well, we need to bring such a deep state of relaxation that our emotional center is not suffering the effects of any negative emotions. But also, we need to reach such a deep state of relaxation that our mind is void of thinking. That our mind is so calm and so relaxed that it is not projecting any kind of thought. This is why we meditate. And for us to get into that higher quality of meditation, well, we have to start by finding a posture in which the physical body finds itself comfortable. This is what is known as asana. For some of us, sitting comfortably on a chair with our feet flat on the floor, our hands resting on our thighs and our spine vertical, that is more than sufficient. But some of you are so fortunate that you can easily sit down in the lotus posture, and you will be able to maintain that posture without any problems or restricted blood flow or pain in your ankles or pain in your back. And that is amazing. And if that is a comfortable posture for you, by all means, embrace it. And then there are other postures that are also very effective. There is the corpse's posture, in which the practitioner lays flat on their back with their feet, with their legs stretched and their heels touching each other, but because the legs are relaxed, the feet will open side to side like a fan. And the arms, well, the arms are just resting very comfortably alongside the body. And even though this posture is really good for meditation, well, it brings the risk that because we are so exhausted from our daily activities, because we are also so distracted, if we identify with any thoughts and we fascinate with them, being so comfortable, we will easily drift into the dream state. And we will even forget that we were meditating. And beyond the corpse's posture, there are other postures as well. But nevertheless, it starts everything with asana, a posture in which your body is comfortable. And once we do this, then we work our way into a state of a clear mind. The clear mind is pratyahara. beyond the clear mind. Once the mind is clear, we can drive that internal concentration into the subject matter of interest. This is when the wise one starts making use of the practice of meditation. And once they drive that internal concentration from dharana, they go into dhyana. And then they experience that deep and profound meditation on that subject. And of course, receiving information means that as they have focused all of the attention of the consciousness, the innermost communicates in visions, in symbols, in imagery that are very rich in content. And as the practitioner receives those images, as the consciousness making use of the faculties of objective imagination, that is clairvoyance, the faculty of intuition, which is the faculty that tells the practitioner what is the significance, the meaning of what they are seeing, and of course, inspiration, where the practitioner can easily grasp the spiritual reality of what they are perceiving, of course they reach a state of ecstasy. That is how they walk into samadhi. So here in the Mysteries of Fire, we see how Master Samael Aun Beor shows us where is that this state of clear mind comes into play. But there are some other writings that many other students may not be very familiar with. There is a writing titled The Great Manifest of Aquarius. And Samael uses that means of communication to give all of us a warning. Listen, he says, there are schools of dark arts that practice with a blank mind. Let us clarify that when we say here dark arts, that means black magic. That means working with the forces of nature, not from the perspective of the innermost, but from the perspective of the ego, to satisfy desires, wishes, etc. So he continues, they want a blank mind without knowing any Zen Buddhism, without ever having practiced with a koan. A koan is an enigmatic phrase. A koan is a statement that when the mind receives it, it gets shocked because it does not understand it. It cannot make heads and tails of it. And because the mind will try to compare it and to find it meaning, etc., eventually the mind falls on its knees and it stops thinking. Nevertheless, let's continue this. Without ever having practiced with a koan, without ever studying the science of pratyahara and the law of mental bipolarities, without knowing of the law through which the essence of the mind is liberated from within the bottle of antithesis to fuse with the monad and reach satori. What is this saying? This is saying practitioners of black magic also seek a blank mind. And friends, we share this with you because it is important that you are very clear, crystal clear, with the many dangers that the sincere students come across. You may come across some groups that they will speak of love and kindness and compassion. They will speak of Jesus. They will not mention the Christ. They will speak of his great works. They will speak of his miracles. They will speak even of sexuality. But they will never speak about the magic of love. And they will never tell you how you can eliminate your psychological aggregates. What we are saying with this is that you can come across groups, schools, sects that will sound like the teachings of people who are illuminated. You will look at them and you will feel veneration and you will pay them reverence. And in that blind veneration, you may find yourself opening many doors that are going to get you in a lot of trouble. In these schools, they will speak about the blank mind and the need to meditate and how to move forces and bring balance and vibrations, etc., etc., etc. But these teachings are teachings that you have to be very watchful because they can get you into a lot of misfortune. when we are speaking in Gnosis about the practice with a blank mind, when Samael speaks about the science of Pratyahara, the science of the clear mind, or, if we can expand that even better, the understanding of the phenomena by virtue of its causes and effects that result in a clear mind, which is the law of mental bipolarities, it is then that we can truly bring the mind into a state of quietness. But let's finish what Samael says here in his great Manifest of Aquarius. He says the fanatics of such schools of dark arts believe that achieving a blank mind is just like that. And they expect the great reality to enter them and toss away all of those bestial animal entities that constitute the pluralized self. We want you to know that that does not happen. There is no such a thing as the innermost penetrating into your body, just like that, and casting away all of your defects and you suddenly finding yourself in a deep state of illumination. It does not work like that. For us to be able to receive and incarnate the majesty of the innermost, our body needs to be adequately prepared for that. And the reason for that is because we need to achieve some degree of mastery. The fire of Kundalini must need to be awakened, and that fire must rise so that the centers, the magnetic centers of the human machine, not only open, but that they manifest with all of their splendor. When all of those chakras are active, when all of their faculties are present, when your ethereal body has become adequately crystallized, when you move yourself consciously in the astral plane because you have fabricated that vehicle and that is a solar radiant vehicle, when you become illuminated at the level of the mind and your Divine Mother crowns you as one Buddha, and the moment that you can achieve that great initiation of major mysteries where you receive the title of the Son of Man, it is then that the innermost can penetrate into that body. But until that happens, we have to be working with the elimination of our psychological aggregates. Because the innermost penetrating in a body that is not ready would be equivalent to a sinner entering into the realms of heaven with all of its defects, with all of its lust and its anger and its resentments and its vengeance and its hatred and its thirst for destruction, etc. It would create tremendous damage. This is why we cannot just penetrate into heaven just like that, because there's much that is keeping us bound here. So there is no such a thing as you clearing the mind and then the innermost getting into your body and all the defects just running away and you becoming illuminated. That does not happen. But you can open yourself enough for entities to come into your body, and that would be a tremendous problem. This is why Samael says we have to learn to meditate. We have to learn the science of Pratyahara. We have to understand the law of mental bipolarities. Of course, when Samael is giving the great Manifest of Aquarius, he's speaking to a group of advanced level students. They know what this law of mental bipolarities is. But lucky for us, in his writings in the book Revolution of the Dialectic, he explains clearly what this law of mental bipolarities is. He says, listen, examine both polarities of every mental form that reaches the mind. Keep in mind that only through the study of polarities we reach synthesis. Every mental formation can be eliminated through synthesis. And he gives us an example. He says, for example, an image of a beautiful woman comes to us. We're speaking here, addressing all of you as an audience. That image of that girlfriend comes to us. Is she pretty? We may look at the beauty of that creature, and when we see so many things that have had us enchanted in so many different ways, whether it is the aroma of her perfume, or the glistening shine of her hair, or whether it is the eyes, or whatever it is, if we identify with any one of those things, we will fascinate, and inevitably we will fall into the sleep of the consciousness. And because we have so many egos, we shouldn't be surprised if we fall into deep into that sleep of consciousness, and before long we are doing the unmentionable in the mental planes. So we cannot allow ourselves to get there. We have to look at this mental formation and contemplate it. And Samael says, is she pretty? He says, let's think beauty is the opposite of ugly. And that if in her young years she was pretty, well, when she is old, she will be ugly. Let's just bring this here for a brief pause. Because what this is saying is that we need to learn to see the extremes of all of these things that we are constantly contemplating in the mind. If we are observing with the eye of the mind, and there is an image of a beautiful creature, whether it is a man or whether it is a woman, well, as you observe the beauty of this creature, we have to understand that if that beauty is in one extreme, on the other extreme, we have, of course, its opposite. And it would be an image in complete contrast to the original. If we see beauty, we know that on the other extreme, there is ugliness. If we see sadness, we know that in the other extreme, there is happiness. If we see laziness, we know that in the other extreme, there is diligence. If we see lust, we know that in the other extreme, there is chastity. And we are speaking about these extremes because both of these extremes exist in a continuum. And the fact is that whether it is beauty or ugliness, whether it is lust or chastity, whether it is anger or altruism, they are both identical in kind, but they are infinitely different in degree. And if you're looking at an image that invites lustful emotions and lustful thoughts, well, we know that in the other extreme there is chastity. And if we focus on the other because we understand how is it that lust continues to get us into more misery and more difficulties. Think, for example, you decide to go fornicate, you end up adulterating, and then your wife, your husband finds out, and now you have a conflict that results in divorce and splitting of goods and other things. Things get very difficult, you see? So if we look at the other extreme, knowing that they are identical in kind, but infinitely different in degree, suddenly the consciousness perceives both ends and simply creates a synthesis. And suddenly, you don't even have to think that there is no value in thinking of that. Suddenly, anything that was being brought forward from those original images, any of those internal reactions where suddenly your heart rate increased, or you cringed, or you got excited, etc., etc., suddenly all of that vanishes. The ability of the consciousness to reconcile these opposites lets you know that what you were seeing was something temporal, something that does not last. Something that comes and goes like the swing of a pendulum. Like Samael says, like a flower that will eventually fade and wither. This action of self-observation, this action of empowering the consciousness to observe and find the opposite and reconcile them so that you can perceive the synthesis, is an ability to study the psyche that the consciousness knows how to do very well. And this action of self-observation is what is called pratyahara. This is what we're going to do tonight. We're going to relax our body. And as we relax our body, I will invite you to initiate an exercise of retrospection. That exercise of retrospection, I'm going to invite you to allow the most meaningful event of the day to simply stand out. That event is going to come to you very clearly in a vision. And when you see it, I'm going to invite you to open yourself to that which is new. To embrace the principle of spontaneity so that when you see it, that you don't reject it. And then allow your consciousness to contemplate it. See that very specific event. It will be an event where something happened that you identified with the impression and you became fascinated with it. And it could have been something that was of a lustful nature. Or maybe you just got frustrated and things escalated. You got angry. It could be that. It could be a moment in the day where you experienced some shame. Maybe something came out that you did not want it. And you had to deal with that. But whatever it was, embrace it. Because this is an exercise that is done within the privacy of your own self. And because it is within your own privacy, because this is an occult exercise, it is hidden from everyone else except you. Revisit it several times. Rerun it in your mind several times so that you can see clearly how you were thinking, how you were feeling, how you even responded physically. And as you are there contemplating this, allow your consciousness to show you the opposite. Go ahead and experience that internal calmness that comes when there is that realization of no value in getting identified with that. And as you see that, even better, contemplate again. You would get so good comprehension about this or that particular defect that you're observing. That at the end we're going to invoke of our Divine Mother. And we're going to ask our Divine Mother to bring over serpentine fire and help us take that which we comprehended and reduce it to our cosmic dust. So that whatever consciousness can be liberated from that, that it becomes liberated. So this is the exercise that we are doing tonight. Pratyahara means against influences. And as you put this into practice, the ego will continue to throw you some curveballs. It will throw you things, as they say, out from the left field. But because you will be in a state of contemplation, whatever the ego throws at you, observe it. Don't reject it. And empower the consciousness to show naturally what is the opposite of that. So that you can see that reconciliation of opposites. And slowly, as you continue to do that, the ego, the mind, will continue throwing more stuff into the mix. But the consciousness will become very skillful with these. And friends, the beauty of this is that when the mind gets tired, when it stops the process of thinking, suddenly your consciousness can escape the bottle of the ego. And when that happens, the ego stays behind within the body, but the consciousness emancipates and has the opportunity of experiencing the illuminating void. For some of you, the experience of the illuminating void is going to be a tremendous shock, because suddenly you will find yourself in such a condition of expansiveness that you're not going to perceive the ego. And you're going to wonder what is happening. And in that happiness and in that expansiveness and in that wonder, you're going to immediately come back to the body. So if that happens, don't worry. That is just great. You will see that you will feel so energized. You will seek to experience that once again. And you should just keep practicing. So let's go ahead and start our practice tonight. I'm going to invite you to sit comfortably on your chair. Let's go ahead and allow our feet to be comfortably on the floor. Set your hands on your thighs and let's go ahead and close our eyes. Let's go ahead and let's make ourselves aware of the sensations in our physical body. If there's anything that is causing any discomfort, maybe it's a ring that feels a little tight on the finger. Maybe it's your earrings, your watch, your shoes. Whatever that is, let's go ahead and release that distraction. And while some of you do that, the rest of us, let's go ahead and take a deep breath in. 1, 2. One. And let's go ahead and make ourselves aware of what is our emotional state. Our emotions always manifest after a thought. There is a thought or a series of thoughts that precede our emotions. And of course, they are intimately related. If at this moment you feel that you're still dealing with some lingering effects of frustration during the day, if you have gotten to this practice still carrying the weight of some sadness, regardless of what that is, as we perform this exercise of retrospection, that initial event that brought back the chain of thoughts that crystallized as those emotions and all that you're feeling in your body right now, those moments will become very visible. So whatever your emotion is, know that it is temporal. These emotions, they come and go like the swing of a pendulum. And we know that if we feel very sad now, that is okay. That pendulum is going to swing once again. And not too far out in the future, we're going to be experiencing happiness. But let's also keep in mind that if we feel happy, ecstatic, if we feel energized, that we cannot fall into the trap of creating a false sense of security. Because for as long as we remain bound to the law of the pendulum, the pendulum is going to swing in the other direction, and we're going to have to deal with the other emotions later. So it's better if we assume a third position. Let's go ahead and take a deep breath in. 1, 2. And empower your consciousness in such a way that it can contemplate the swing of the pendulum. Whether it is happiness or sadness, whether it is lust or chastity, anger or altruism, the consciousness can see both extremes with relative ease and without any effort. And being in this contemplative posture empowers you to face any circumstance in your life. And in a great deal of satisfaction and happiness, with the certainty that our consciousness has the tremendous ability to perceive, let's create a circle of protection around us with the mantra Klim Krishnaya. Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Kopihana Vaya Vaya Swaha. Let's recite that mantra once again for good practice. Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Gopihana Vaya Vaya Swaha. Let's recite it one last time for good practice. Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Gopihana Vaya Vaya Swaha. This mantra materializes around us a flaming star that encircles us. It is a flaming star that deters any tenebrous entities from interfering with any of our thoughts, toying with our emotions. This is a very powerful mantra that you can recite at any moment, whether you're ready to have a crucial, difficult conversation, or at a moment in which you're simply celebrating. And you can also use it in any situation of danger, as it will allow you to experience more clarity as you perceive. And in much gratitude for this mantra, finding ourselves within this circle of light, we invoke our Divine Father by saying, Father of mine, Lord of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my internal God, we are here humbly at your presence, asking of you and begging of you for your contribution. Divine Father, we ask of you that it is you the one who manifests through our personality, through our gestures, through our interactions, with all those around us. We ask that it is you the one who officiates in this practice. We ask that you empower the consciousness with the faculties of imagination, inspiration, and intuition, so that the consciousness may clearly perceive without relying on any thinking processes of the mind. Give us, Divine Father, the opportunity to experience pratihara, a clear mind, against all influences. Give us the opportunity to become experts in pratihara, so that we can move into deeper stages of meditation, so that we can find a direct communication and receive from you the wisdom that you offer every moment. We ask of this in your holy name. So be it. Now let's take another deep breath in. 1, 2. And with every exhalation, allow your body to sink just a little deeper into that chair. And let's bring the attention of our consciousness down into our feet, specifically focusing on our toes. And from there, we allow the attention of the consciousness to become more fluid and to focus on our toes, our heels, our ankles, our shins, our calves. We notice how, without any effort, we immediately feel that gentle softness that comes with a deep state of relaxation. And we receive it with a great deal of satisfaction. And we once again bring the attention of our consciousness onto our knees. And we focus on our knees, on the underside of our thighs, on our glutes, our hips, and we feel how that relaxation expands throughout our thighs and brings relaxation upwards into our creative organs. Bring the attention back. Now at the very base of the spine. And as we allow that attention of the consciousness to manifest, notice how is it that even at a physical level the body can perceive. Focus on the base of our spine. We focus on our breath. And we allow the attention of the consciousness to start moving upwards along our spine. And with every exhalation, we continue to perceive that attention of the consciousness rising. And we bring relaxation into our lower abdomen. And we relax our lower abdomen without opening any doors. We close all doors to negative emotions. We close all those doors that we have opened because of blind veneration. We close all those doors that we have opened, and after we did, we found ourselves betrayed. We close all doors to negative emotions. And as we invoke the Hermetic Seal, we continue allowing that expansion of the consciousness upwards in our spine. And we bring that relaxation into our internal organs, into our diaphragm, our stomach, our heart, our lungs. And as we focus the attention of our consciousness at the middle of our spine, in that space right in between the shoulder blades, we allow that sensation of relaxation to grow and expand onto our shoulders, and from our shoulders to continue cascading into our elbows, our wrists, our hands, and our fingers. And as you focus on your breath, you will notice that now your exhalations have become so much more deeper. You will notice that the breathing has become almost imperceptible. You will notice that that sensation of softness has grown and inundates every aspect of your body. And we have the certainty that this is the normal state of a true human being. And we accept it with gratitude and gratefulness, knowing that we can invoke our innermost at any moment, today or in the upcoming days. And we can always ask our innermost to bring back into our body this very same state of deep relaxation. And so we bring the attention of our consciousness to the base of our neck, that space behind our head and between our ears. And the body immediately perceives. And so we allow that attention of the consciousness to continue expanding. And as it grows along the sides of our head, we allow the muscles of our jaw to relax, and we relax our lips and our tongue, our eyes, eyelids, and the muscles of our forehead. And as we do this, we perceive how that attention of the consciousness continues to expand along our scalp until it finds itself at the very crown of our head. Now allow yourself to see your body as if it were transparent. And see that from your body emanates a very gentle hue of blue light. And within our circle of protection, we can allow our consciousness to continue expanding into the heavens, and from the heavens to descend a gentle ray of blue light that penetrates into our heads and that descends into our hearts and inundates our lungs. And from there, inundating the body with light. Divine Father, we ask of you that you guide us in this retrospection. Bring into our attention that particular moment where we saw ourselves identified, fascinated, and allow us to experience in great detail everything that we perceive at the level of the mind, the emotion, and the body. And do it in such a way that there is no doubt that it is you, the one showing us. And as you do this, help us reconcile the opposites. Initiate your retrospection. as you contemplate these events. Notice at those moments the change in your thinking. Perceive the change in your emotions. And also notice how the ego makes use of the physical body to achieve all of its commitments, to enjoy of all of its desires. With this level of understanding, we say, Divine Mother, we're here humbly at your presence, asking of you and begging of you with our heart and our soul that you take your flaming spear of arrows and you help us reduce this defect into our cosmic dust. The Divine Mother will be revealed to you in vision. And you will see her take action to reduce that aggregate that you have comprehended. And from within that dust, with her delicate fingers retrieving a particle of light, perhaps about the size of a grain of sand, but that shines with the intensity of a thousand suns, and depositing it once again back into your heart. Divine Mother, Divine Father, we give you infinite thanks for the help that you give us. We're infinitely grateful for your contribution. Give us strength, Divine Father, to continue the work and awaken in us the love for the work itself. We ask of this in your holy name. So be it. And we go ahead and take a deep breath in. 1, 2. Go ahead and wiggle your fingers and your toes. And very well. Dear friends, so this has been our practice this week that is called Pratyahara. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. It has always been a delight having you here with us and you giving us an opportunity to be part of your home. So thank you so much for having us. And to everyone, have a great weekend and may all beings be happy.